views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. So I want to share a little story first. So we just learned that one of our Woman of Wisdom presenters lost everything in the Oso mudslide, and she amazingly survived. She actually was one of the women that was pulled out by helicopters. She was in the news on interviewed by Anderson Cooper. Her name is Robin Youngblood. And you can listen to her story if you look up, you know, Anderson Cooper, Robin Youngblood on YouTube. Anyway, I'm just asking for anyone who wants to help out. I know a lot of people give to the Red Cross, but you can actually also donate directly to her church. She has a nonprofit organization, and 100% of the proceeds go to people she knows in need, which includes herself. Just go to www.churchoftheearth.org. You can also see it posted on our Woman of Wisdom webpage, Facebook, our Facebook page, Woman of Wisdom Foundation, if you don't remember, but it's churchoftheearth.org. So, we want to do as much as we can to help. It's hard when it's also somebody you know. It's been hard here in the area, but it's also really hard when it's somebody that you know. She's been a presenter at Woman of Wisdom this last year and other years. So moving on, we're going to talk about horses today. My guest is Rosalind Byrne. She is a university professor who writes and teaches about engineering and technology in society and the ethical implications of technological development. She often uses science fiction material in her classes. And in her personal life, she continues to discover the transformational nature of human equine relationships and offers facilitation and translation services for enhancing communication between horses and their owners. She is the author of the novel Waiting in the Silence and also her new book, When the Horses Whisper. And her website is www.whenthehorseswhisper.com. So welcome, Rosalind.
So good to be with you. Thank you.
Oh, good, good. I for a minute there, I didn't hear anything, so I was worried.
That's
okay, well,
sure.
You know, I love stories. It's how I came to my vision of a mission of bringing people together was reading a book of women's stories. And your book, When the Horses Whisper, it's reading stories from the horses. So they all have their personal journey, too, and their own stories. But so we're going to hear some of that today. But first, I want you to share about your how you grew up, and you had some interactions with horses at a young age where you you didn't really realize till later, perhaps, that you were having communication, but you actually did. So maybe you could share that, you know, how this all started in the beginning for you.
Oh, well, I was a city girl, right? I was living in inner city Philadelphia as a child. And I didn't really have too much exposure to any kind of animals other than, you know, alley cats and dogs. One summer, my parents sent me off to an overnight camp that had a riding program. And during that time, I kept being drawn to the same horse. He was an Arabian gelding, and his name was Aladdin. And whenever I could, I would get on Aladdin and ride him and find myself even with him alone sometimes when we weren't having riding lessons. And when the summer camp was over, I think I was there for 2 weeks, I was very, very sad about leaving him. And I think I must have been aware at the time, but not really realizing until recently that we were communicating. When I said goodbye to Aladdin and I was pretty tearful, I believe that he told me that he would be with me and not to be sad because he would be with me. So many years later, I'm coming to realize that I, and I think many, many people, have the capacity to hear these animals, and it probably started for me back then.
Yes, and I think there was another story, too, something that happened when you were a teenager. Or you went to work in a bar. You went and worked in some stables and worked with some horses for a while.
Exactly. So what happened, am I with you? Yes?
Yes, yep.
Okay, what happened was, after that summer, I was so distraught. I missed Adeladen so much that I kept trying to figure out ways to be around a horse again. And I did know from my Girl Scout trips to Fairmount Park in Philadelphia that there were horses there. So one Saturday, I walked from my house all the way there, and it was a very long walk, maybe over an hour to get there. And I found the woman who ran the stables, and I asked her if I could work there in exchange for having a chance to ride. It didn't really work out for me to do that, but I did work there for a few Saturdays. While I was there, I did encounter one amazing, tremendous horse. I think he must have been a thoroughbred. He was quite large. And I felt his presence, and I saw his eye looking through the gate. I saw him in his stall there. And I was able to have a deep connection and a conversation with him, too. And so it came pretty natural to me, and it really wasn't something I shared with people. But I began to, you know, cut out pictures of horses from magazines, and my teacher gave me her collection of ceramic horses. And I spent a lot of time in my mind and in the privacy of my room thinking about and feeling the presence of these horses that had touched me so deeply.
Well, and then going forward to a few years ago? I'm not sure how long ago was when you really started exploring this and discovering it. It's when you went to Costa Rica. So let's talk about that. What happened there?
Sure. I mean, so now, fast forward, let's see, that's 45 years. So, you know, no longer a little girl in Philadelphia, now an adult with young adult children. It was about 3.5 years ago, I was going through the process of a divorce after 30 years of marriage, and I was trying to help support emotionally and otherwise a son who was doing rapid cycle manic depressive psychotic episodes. It was pretty shaking for our family, and I was working for an organization that was going through a terrible, stressful time economically, so I was feeling a tremendous amount of stress about my leadership role there. So I thought I better go get myself into a quiet place and restore and get well and just try to heal, because it had been a very difficult time. So I rented a cottage in a retreat center in Costa Rica up in the mountains, and I took the manuscript from Waiting in the Silence with the intention of finishing it. And I spent a number of days by myself in this cabin writing. And on about the fourth or fifth day of my visit, I went outside and signed up for a trail ride. The people who own this resort, it's actually loosely, it's sort of an eco lodge, have horses. So I signed up and I went on this trail ride, and we're almost finished, and we're crossing the River Arno, and I'm riding a horse named Titan. And when Titan crossed the river, it was really fun. I'd never crossed a river on horseback before, and he did just fine, and the water was probably 3 or 4 feet high, and it was pretty exciting. When we got to the other side of the river, Titan started to climb out, and I fell off into the water. And when I stood up, soaked completely head to toe, I must have felt some kind of elation, because I was laughing, just laughing for joy. But Titan was looking back at me with trepidation. Anyone could have seen by his constitution, you know, the way he's looking, the way he's standing, that he was really upset. So I patted him on his butt, and I said, "Oh, don't worry, Titan, I'm fine, I'm fine. I didn't get hurt." Well, I hopped back on to the horse, and we continued on the trail ride. And after just a few minutes, Chris, I heard him talking, and he said, "I can't believe I let that happen. That's never happened to me before. My job is to carry people, and I'm responsible to care for them. I can't believe this happened. Are you okay? Are you okay? Am I going to be in trouble? Am I going to be in trouble? And he just kept going and going. And I'm listening, and I'm listening, and I'm hearing him very clearly. And so I start responding to him in an unspoken yet, how do I explain it? I'm not moving my lips and my mouth, and he's not moving his lips and his mouth. It's not like the famous Mr. Ed. It's more something that we're doing in our minds, but I can hear him. And finally, we're just about to get back to the barn where everybody's going to dismount and we're finished our ride. And Titan says, now that I know that you can actually hear me, I am asking you to give a message to Debbie. Now, Chris, Debbie is the woman who co-owns this retreat with her husband. He said, tell Debbie that she's wrong about me. I do not need any more training. And it was very specific, and that's exactly what he said. And when I shared this with Debbie, she was taken aback. And she doesn't know me from Adam, and I'd never been there before. I was just a tourist renting a cabin from her. That night when we gathered for dinner, they have sort of a community-style dinner, and I was sitting at the table. She came up to me very quietly so that the other tourists wouldn't hear, and she said, how do you know about that? And I said, how, about what? She said, how do you know about Titan? The stable manager and I, for the last few weeks, have been talking about how he needs to go back to training. How did you know? And it went from there.
We're going to find out in a minute. This is Chris Stainless. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and finish this story with Rosalyn Burton.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session. Or dial 415-235-2807.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Oh, welcome back to Voices of Women. Talking with Rosalind Byrne. She's the author of When the Horses Whisper. And she was just sharing the story of her first experience down in Costa Rica with Teton, the horse who she fell off of. I have experience falling off a horse too, Rosalind. I was on a trail ride down in, I think it was the Rio Grande River, up by between Santa Fe and Taos. And the horse decided to play with me at the end of the trip. We were going down a rocky, dried up riverbed, and he started to buck, you know, and it freaked me out. I think he thought, oh, she's up for this. And, I kind of made myself fall, but he and I walked the rest of the way back, and then I kind of went up to him, afterwards, and he was not wanting to talk to me at all. You know, I didn't play. He got in trouble or something. You know, I could tell there was definitely an emotion there of his reaction to me was like, "Oh, I'm not doing anything, having anything to do with you. You're getting me in trouble because you fell off."
Oh, interesting.
Not that I'm saying that's my guess of what he did have. You could see that emotion in him that he was reacting to.
They have feelings, that's for sure. I mean, they're very feeling animals. So, Okay. Well, I think that you probably intuitively were absolutely right on about what was going on with him. And what can you do?
Yeah. Well, I spent the next 5 hours in a spa soaking my
That's what you can do.
Luckily, it didn't break anything. But anyway, you were sharing that story and how you had that communication with the horse. And then that sort of started. So what the owner came up to you and said, how did you know this? And that sort of began your working with her, correct? If she had you then talking to other horses.
Well, the next morning at breakfast, well, I said, I know because he told me. And she gave me a funny look. But the next morning at breakfast, she came up to me and said, I have my favorite horse. Her name is Etana. And I care about her deeply, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to get rid of her because something's very wrong, and I don't know what to do, and she's acting up, and she can't carry people on the trails anymore, and I don't have the time and resources and space for a horse that can't work here. But I don't want to lose her because I love her so much. Is there any way you can find out what's going on with her? And I didn't know at that point, Chris, that I could do that because this had just happened the night before, and I was myself trying to sort out what it means. But Debbie seemed so sad about it, and I wanted to help, so I said, okay, well, let's see what happens if I go talk to her. And it was really quite interesting because it was the beginning of my own growth and learning, and I'm being taught very much by these horses about deep listening. But I went up to Etana, and I just started saying, Etana, Debbie's concerned about you. Do you want to tell me what's going on? I think maybe I can understand. And she didn't respond at all. And then I said, Etana, this is probably important that you share with us what's going on. And she didn't respond. So she's now, I'm standing at her right shoulder, and she's looking straight ahead. And I'm trying to speak into her right ear. Finally, I said, Etana, in a very quiet voice, Etana, Debbie is seriously thinking about getting rid of you if she can't figure out what's wrong. Well, Chris, that horse turned completely around at that point. She stared at me and put her chin right on my left shoulder. And as she was staring, she said, what did you just say? And I said, she's going to have to get rid of you. And then did that horse ever start talking? She told me she was concerned about a pregnancy and she needed to be alone in the field alone with her pregnancy for a while. Well, Debbie said, she's not pregnant. And I said, I'm not sure about that, but she needs to be alone. Well, I left the next day, and Debbie called me a couple of weeks later and said, we decided to do what you said. We put Etana in the field by herself because she was the lead mare, and she told me she couldn't take responsibility for other horses right now. She had to be concerned about her own child. Turns out she was pregnant, and she lost the baby. And she was trying to give all her energy and focus to that baby, which is why she was acting up and irritable and difficult to be with, because she was not concerned about the Taurus. She was concerned not about the herd. She was concerned about this baby inside of her. Isn't it remarkable that animals are as connected and aware and attached to their unborn as we humans can be. Maybe
yeah,
more in some cases.
And that's amazing too. I mean, we don't think about that, you know, but we do witness what, after giving birth, the love and care that they give to their babies. You see that. So they open up and they show you this strength and beauty and love. And but tell us, what does it take for you to open up to them? I mean, because they yeah. trust you. You know, they're not going to probably. I would imagine they don't talk to anybody or everybody.
Actually, so after that first visit to Costa Rica, Debbie was anxious for me to come back, and I was happy to do so. So I went back a few times and ended up talking to the entire herd. There is a mare, also the lead mare in the herd named Beauty, who it turns out is sort of the very wise woman of that herd. And among other things, she told me that the herd had picked me for this purpose, for the purpose of, you know, communicating with them and carrying the messages that they have for human beings, those who ride them, and also humans in general, because they're very concerned about some things related to our own growth and development. And why I was picked, I don't know. There is maybe some trust. Maybe when I was there, I was in such a state of needing to be well and healed and trying to release and shift my life. I think it, and also the fall, you know, I had two choices. I could either grip on and hold on for dear life, or I could completely release. And in a split second, I just released everything. I think not only did I release my hold on the saddle and the reins, but I think I released all the trauma that was going on in my life just in one felt swoop. I just fell. And when I stood up, this incredible opening sense of joy, that might have been the opportunity for the horses to reach me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you talk about how they have shared with you how they help us heal from loss and pain. And they ride with a lot of kids, go there and ride, and they talked about how they're able to you tell us what because there's yeah. You can tell us better than I can say.
Okay, so there, lots of tourists go there who are, say they're going there just for a few days on their way to other parts of Costa Rica, and often they come as families. So there'll be kids and usually a mom and dad, or sometimes a mom just takes her kids and the dad is on a trip, all kinds of configurations. Sometimes it's a young couple and they don't have children yet, but it's true that a lot of children go. But what happens is they are so darn perceptive, these horses. They can sense a person's emotional state. They are very aware of what you're feeling, and they can also reflect that back to you, which I'm learning through some natural horsemanship people that I'm learning from and reading about and with when I go there. Beauty talks about, she's very concerned about how depleted a lot of the mothers are, and women in general who she's been ridden by and she's worked with. She's concerned that we remember how to run the feminine and the masculine energies to support ourselves. She's concerned that many of us seem completely depleted and that we've forgotten how to do that. And so that we end up taking sometimes energy from our children in desperation just to be able to stay functioning, which is really sobering. She's concerned about children who come there who are clearly there because they are not well. So this becomes a therapeutic riding program for local children. The horses are also now working with a group of girls who were sex traded and sold by their parents in Guatemala and found in Costa Rica and harbored. And Debbie is working with these girls, and the horses are incredible in that they're helping the girls to remember their bodies and to remember what it feels like to completely be in their bodies and to feel well in their bodies. So these horses are in great service to humanity. And when I speak to them, the first thing I say is, I am here for you. My purpose is to listen to you and to open to you so that what you need and what you understand can be shared with the humans that you're working with. So there's sort of just this mutual understanding that we're all there with the best intentions to support wellness for everybody that comes through. And I try to do that when I'm working with horses, just, you know, in my community here in Virginia, to tell the horses, I'm here for you, because I realize that by nature, they are healers. And so I really want to help them to do what they do best. Unless they're broken, unless they've been abused or neglected or they're sick, they are by nature healers and extremely perceptive. And Beauty told me that many horses essentially have chosen their lives as horses in support of the wellness of human beings.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I know you write about that in the book. And so there was also a thing like they allow the rider to release that loss, their loss and their pains and their grief. And yet you know, there's the old shamanic thing of taking on people's grief and illnesses and stuff. And yet that's not a healthy thing to do, but it doesn't sound like the horses keep it necessarily. They don't get ill from it. They just allow the rider to release it.
I think that's right. See, what I found in my own life experience is that I've had to stop absorbing other people's pain out of my own guilt or feeling bad for them and be empathetic and supportive by being present for them, which is really different than taking it in. I'm sure you've talked to probably lots of women in their stories about that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have to go to break now. This is Voices of Women. We'll come back soon and talk more with Rosalind Byrne, author of When the Horses Whisper.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I have Rosalind Byrne here today. She's the author of When the Horses Whisper, and there's some great stories in her book of the experiences she's had in talking to horses. So, Rosalind, how about if you give your contact information or website and where people can find your book?
Oh, sure. So, whenthehorseswhisper.com is the website that's specifically for that book. And you can find the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or probably a local bookseller would be happy to special order it. I also have rosalindbyrne.com, which is a more general website. And from there, people can sign up for a free newsletter that has all kinds of things written in it about interspecies communication, which is mostly what this is about. So thanks for asking, and hopefully people can find me fairly easily.
Yeah. Well, and so you told us a little bit about Beauty, and there's, I know, even more stories about her, but you've learned some pretty big lessons on how to be respectful to horses, which I think could translate into how we can be respectful to anybody, you know, in the world. And I know you want to share one of those stories.
Yes. Well, it's true. These lessons are immediately useful for human beings, and the one that will probably be with me for my life has to do with a stallion whose name is Juano. And I got to Costa Rica and had just come from the airport and pulled up at this cabin retreat, and there was this magnificently beautiful auburn-colored stallion standing there with the stableman and Debbie. And I said, "Who is this stunning horse?" And as I'm looking at him, I'm feeling this sort of heartthrob because I'm really taken by him. He's just magnificent, and he's radiant, and his eyes are so beautiful. And they explained to me, "Oh, we just got him. This is Juano. He's our new stallion." And so I said hello to him. I asked him permission to pet him, and I touched him, and I felt just such an amazing energy. The stallions are unusual creatures, and he was so powerful. Anyway, that night I have dreams about looking in Juano's eyes, and I'm very excited in the morning. I can't wait to go find him. And I walk into the barn, and there are about 7 or 8 horses being saddled up to go on a trail ride. And I walk straight up to this gorgeous horse, and I say, "Juano, it's so good to see you again. I can't tell you. Already, you mean so much to me. What a mystery. You're so beautiful to me, and I'm so taken with you, and I'm so honored to meet you. What a magnificent, beautiful horse you are." And I'm going on and on and on, and I feel that I'm being looked at. I turn my head, and across the other side of the barn, a horse is staring at me, like really staring at me. And I said to Debbie, who passed, I said, "Debbie, who am I talking to?" And she said, "Oh, that's Mr. Big." And I thought, "Oh, my God, this is the wrong horse." So I sheepishly back away from Mr. Big, and I turn and I walk towards Juano. And I say, "Oh, Juano, I can't believe I confused you." And Juano turns completely around until his butt is at my back, at my stomach. And he will not budge. So I walk around to his face. I say, "Juano, I'm so sorry. Forgive me." And he turns around again. And the third time he does this, I realize he's having nothing to do with me. So every day during my visit, I go to the barn and I apologize to Juano and tell him, "I'm so sorry for confusing you." And every day Juano turns and he faces opposite to me and puts his butt in my belly. So finally, the last day, I'm about to leave, and I'm almost in tears because I'm feeling a very emotional response to his rejection. And I go up and I say, "Juano, I have tried my best to get your forgiveness, and I am truly sorry. And now I'm leaving, and you still haven't forgiven me, and I don't know what to do at this point because I don't know when I'll ever see you again." At that point, he turns and he faces me. And he looks at me and he says, and I hear him, "You think you have a gift with horses. Well, you have nothing until you realize that we are all different. We have our own names and we look different. And don't come waltzing into this barn again until you figure that out." And it was like that. And I was stunned, but I really felt it. I felt that I was being scolded for my ego and for my presumptuousness and for being sloppy. And it's been hard because actually a lot of them are just brown and they look a lot alike to me because they're similar size and they have similar coloring. But he meant it. And so I work very hard now to distinguish one horse from another and to remember their names and call them by names. And, you know, I have that problem with people too. So, but isn't it different when a person recognizes you and refers to you by name? And so I'm trying my best. And I take that lesson to heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about respect.
It really is. And he has a lot of status in the herd because he's the stallion. He's the only stallion. He's also one of the fastest running horses in Costa Rica, and he's famous. And he was not going to put up with that for 1 minute.
They have their ego, too.
They do. Absolutely. So that's one of many lessons. There was another horse named Conan. Shall I tell the story about Conan?
Yeah.
Yeah. This involved a long ride, a five-day trek. And we were going over some fairly frightening terrain for me, a novice rider. I was petrified because I realized that the last day of the trip we'd be traversing and then coming down a really steep rocky mountain. And when we got to the high ridge of this mountain, I looked down to my right, and it's pretty narrow up there, and I can see that it's just boulders and rocks straight down to a river that's got lots of rocks. And I looked to my left, and I can see tall grassy pasture, but it's pretty darn steep. And so I became aware that if this horse tripped on a rock or walked into a hole or in any way stumbled and fell, I would go either be crushed underneath him or take a pretty serious tumble. So I got really frightened. And we're pretty far out in a rural area, and we're on cow crosses. Like, these are narrow cow paths, so they're maybe only a couple feet wide. And there was no way for me to get off and walk anywhere. For one, there are a lot of poisonous snakes in Costa Rica, and I was not dressed for mucking through snake territory. And for two, it just wasn't physically possible for me to walk this terrain. But I was really scared, and I was afraid that I was going to have a panic attack. I could hardly breathe, and I felt really lightheaded and panicky. And I said to my horse, "Conan, I'm so scared. I'm just so scared." And Conan, your fear, and it's very difficult for me to do my job of protecting us both with you having all this fear. I need for you to stop looking down and put your eyes on the back of my head and keep them there. So I did as the horse instructed me. And it took us a couple of hours to get down. And as we're going down, my eyes are fixed on the back of this horse's head between his ears because I'm afraid to look, and he's telling me not to. And the further down we get, the more I can feel in myself that I'm having to completely let go of my own sense of control, because I have none, and put all of my trust in Conan. By the time we get to the bottom of this mountain, I realize that I have let go of my sense of being able to take care for myself and knowing that I'm relying on this horse. I completely let go. And we got to the bottom, almost to the bottom, and everybody took a path to the left, and Conan took a path to the right, and the leader started yelling at me, "Get your horse up here. That's not the way we're going." And Conan said to me, "Do you trust me or not?" And I said, "Just keep going, Conan." And so we actually got down to the river before anybody else did. And when I realized I was down and I was alive, we hadn't fallen and nothing horrible happened, I had this cathartic release of tears and I was sobbing because not only did I realize I was safe and sound, But I realized that to do that, I had to stop feeling that I was in control of everything, which was a very important lesson for my life, given that the marriage had ended and my son was sick and things were tough at work, that there's only so much that I can do, and that after some point you have to let go and just let life be what it's going to be. And that was healing for me, Chris. It was incredibly healing, and I was very grateful to Conan.
Yeah, it's a very touching story, and they're just amazing animals. Well, this is Christina and Voices of Women. We're going to come back in a few minutes and talk more with Rosalind Byrne.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Intuit University, compassionate guidance connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, the second and fourth Thursday each month at 12 p.m. Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality and a fun and magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, and spirituality. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella, one of Britain's most respected psychic mediums. John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net. Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Christina, and we are talking with the author of When the Horses Whisper, Rosalind Byrne. And so, Rosalind, I really think about that. There's so many lessons to learn about where we surrender and in any situation where we can give up that fear, because that can certainly, and it's about giving up, releasing control. If you're in that situation, you had to let the horse be in control. And there's lots of, as you said, that's, we can adapt that to many situations in our lives.
Yes. I'm learning to do that, as a matter of fact. With my son, who's fortunately doing better than before, realizing that it's going to be a process of unfolding and I can't make it happen. I can support him and love him and be here for him, but I can't make it happen. And there's so much in life we want to control because we care, or we're desperate because we want things to be well. But it just takes reconciling and being at peace sometimes with things that we're not at control. And Conan was one of the biggest teachers for me about that. And I'm so relieved because it's a much lighter life now. There's much more peace for me realizing that a lot of it is out of my control. I can only really control what's in my mind, but not always the outer events of my life. And animals, amazingly, have a way of teaching us some of these lessons. Isn't that wonderful? How grateful I am that they're in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, there's a whole thing of man's dominion over earth, over animals, and you know, this puts it in a different perspective of how almost like how dare we say we have dominion over them when they you know, there's that sense of sentiency from them that you're getting.
Well, now this goes right into my work writing about engineering and technology. It's I'm beginning to see the connection of the dots, that for a long time we've had a sense as human beings that increasingly we have the power to control our environment, to rework the environment, to rework the molecules, to make and create new materials, and sometimes for wonderful benefit to humanity. But with that has come the sense that this is our planet and these are our species to do with what we want, whether it's the plants or the animals. And I think that we should probably reconsider that assumption that they are sentient beings, these animals. They have awareness. They have feelings. They actually have emotions. And so maybe another way to see it, instead of as we are in dominating them and controlling them and using them for our purposes, maybe another way to see it is that they are here with us and that we're together. And that if we really listen to them and connect with them, they can be wonderful companions to us and we to them, and mutual concern and respect and support. So if we could extend that out to one another and to animals, I think that life would feel much better all around for everybody. It could be incredible. And why wouldn't we do that? It's just a matter of changing our understanding and our attitudes and our perceptions of us over them and seeing it as us with them. Really looking in the eyes of an animal and seeing the animal as its own entity, its own sentient, perceiving being that's in there, just like we're in here. I'm just no longer even willing to use the word owner when I refer to the human in the life of a dog or a cat or a horse. We call them, well, that's their owner. Well, I think maybe we should change our language about that. You know, we are their caregivers. They're our companions. Because...
Yeah. Companion's a good word, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's a commonly used word now. Mm-hmm. I just think mm-hmm. we got to get rid of the owner thing. It's a misunderstanding. They're not our property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. They're more, and I think if you have a pet, you kind of can understand it. They're more like gifts for us, you know. They'll console us when, you know, who doesn't have a pet that if you're crying and feeling really upset, that animal isn't right there with you?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, and animals are now being used to help vets with post-traumatic stress disorder, horses in particular. We've got all kinds of companion animal programs for the elderly and for children who out well. There are now hospitals that are allowing certain pets to come in to be with people who are needing healing support. They're incredible. We're so lucky. I mean, we domesticated them. They came out of the wild and we domesticated them for our own purposes. But I think we can sort of raise up the standard of our relationship with them if we see them more as being with us and not belonging to us. Just the same as our children. You know, that wonderful piece of writing by Khalil Gibran, "Your children are not your children. They're the sons and daughters of the earth longing for itself. They come to you and through you, but not to you." So it's the same with animals. It's like your animals are not your animals. You know, they come to be with us, but not to belong to us. And I just really feel like we have work to do in this way, but we're not that far off. And when we do this work, more and more of us are going to be hearing our animals. I believe that's going to happen for us. And then we'll really realize just how perceptive and aware they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have an incident of a previous cat. Well, when I had a dog, so this goes way back, 1990, and the dog was old, and we got this cat. He loved cats, and we got a cat companion for him. And after my dog passed, the cat was sitting above on top of the sofa behind me, and I just turned and looked at him, and there was an instant communication of him saying, "Well, it's time for me to go. My healing work is done. I need to move on." In so many words, but it was like an instant flash of, and I knew it, you know. And a week later, he got hit by a car, and it was that
It's like he wanted to let me know because I already was in grief of my dog who I'd had 17 years. He kind of prepared me of, well, he's leaving too. And he was definitely a healing cat. A lot of people sense that. I feel like all the cats I've had have been healing cats.
They must be attracted to you. Are you attracting them for some reason? Maybe there's an understanding. You know, Chris, there was a story circulating out on the web for a while about a man in South Africa, Southern Africa, who'd spent the better part of his adulthood working to protect elephants from having their tusks poached, right? Because it kills them when they're taken. So he was an advocate for the protection of elephants. And then he died. Well, a few days after he died, two herds of elephants walked for days, and we're talking about wild elephants, and they walked to his house, and they stood in front of his house. Did you read that?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and then they left. It was like they were holding vigil. It was like they had come to pay their respects to the man who'd worked for them. Well, first of all, it's sort of a mystery that they were aware of him or where he lived, but how beautiful is that? And so could you imagine if we begin to recognize the plant, the animals around us and the ones in the wild, somehow as we being connected to them, you know, as sort of almost not just the human species, but the all of us being somehow one as living beings, that I think the potential for our growth and awareness is incredible. Incredible. And if I can be part of that and contribute in any way to that, that would make me feel like I had fulfilled a great purpose in my own life. And so hopefully When the Horses Whisper will make that contribution. And then the sequel, which I'm working on now, Beauty Speaks, I hope to as well, because it's one horse speaking mostly about feminine energy. And
That sounds great. Can't wait to get that book of yours. So thank you so much, Rosalind, for being here today and sharing your story and the horses' stories.
Thank you for having me on your show, and all the best to you in your work and with your book and your publishing. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So again, check out Rosalind's website, www.whenthehorseswhisper.com. I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today. Do you have an animal to connect with? Pay attention to what messages they are sending you. This is Christina. I'm founder of Women of Wisdom. Also have the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And it's a great book to for yourself and also to pass on to those who need some inspiration, some feminine spiritual guidance in their life. It's a compilation of many stories, art, and poetry. And you can purchase that on our website at womanofwisdom.org. It benefits Women of Wisdom. So also, I'm starting another Circle Leadership course on, so if leadership interests you or you want to improve your leadership skills or learn about how to be co-creating leadership and with the groups that you are in, it works with any group. It's actually beginning this Monday, April 7th at 5:30 Pacific time. You don't have to be actually on the call. You'll be getting the recordings. Just go to my website, chrysalisleadership.com. And look for the, there's a link there for the webinar. So next week, I will be interviewing a Dr. Natalie Cather on, and it's about metabolic makeover and the energy around that. So thank you for being here today and have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Introducing a new hit show, Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Gifted, shifted, and powerful is what this show is about. Tune in each month to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimeLightRadio.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Having trouble keeping up with the accelerated, life-altering changes occurring on the planet? The Quantum Vortex is the brainchild of Meg Benedicte, a pioneer in quantum healing and energetic activations. Weaving together ancient spiritual knowledge, quantum physics, and vibrational healing, Meg Benedicte is accelerating change at the cellular level. For more details on private sessions, meditation CDs, downloads, and teleseminars, visit NewEarthCentral.com.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in to the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Tune in to Intuit University, compassionate guidance connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium Sherry Dillard, the second and fourth Thursday each month at 12 p.m. Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality and a fun and magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, and spirituality. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. Anxiety is in many ways a learned behavior, which is rooted in our childhood. During our early years, when we are the most dependent on others, negative feedback, judgment, or ridicule infiltrate our subconscious mind and leave us wondering whether we are really safe, lovable, or good enough. In response, a part of our mind develops protective strategies to keep us from getting hurt. Let's imagine that the anxiety you've been battling with stems from the part that has assumed the job of keeping you safe. Doesn't it then make sense that your anxiety makes you expect the worst, so that you are prepared, keeps you on your toes to avoid failure, or shames and belittles you before someone else can do this to you? When you consider the source of your anxiety as a vulnerable child that just tries to keep you safe, you no longer feel that you're the victim of your own mind, but instead are more easily able to take on the role of the caring, reassuring adult.